So I haven't listened to last week's episode yet. How did you decide on this episode of Rescue Fire exactly?
I have no idea.
It had the most hilarious title.
Well, okay. I can't deny that criteria.
It was a toss between this and something about going to the beach for a bikini contest.
In retrospect, we should have picked an episode with Rider One.
I don't get it.
The boss of the Rescue Fire Patrol is the actor who played Kamen Rider One.
Yeah. He in the Rescue Force movie, he actually transformed into what was it, R-Zero?
Probably. Sounds right.
Yeah.
I vaguely remember that.
But did he go care and grow into giant Sega Saturn?
Unfortunately, no.
Nobody Shame. Cared around a Sega Saturn.
I mean, I've seen... I guess I'll get into that when
Have
we get
Have you not
that.
Seen those commercials that he did?
No.
Sega Tarsa.
Sega Tarsa Shiro! Sega Tarsa Shiro! Sega Tarsa Shiro!
And now it's time for another Superhero Time with your hosts, XV.
It's all about the butt.
Hey, Mickey.
Everybody loves dicks.
Paladin.
That's the magic part.
Ken.
It's in Miss America's pants.
And Fort Max.
No, that goes into the ass.
Okay, it's Superhero Time. A day late and more than a dollar short. We visited your mom like 25
20
times.
Times.
No, more than a dollar short, so it's like 25, 26 times.
Oh, okay.
Don't step on my bad jokes, man. I can do poorly enough on my own.
I'll step on whatever I want to.
I'm XV. With me is Ken, back from his retail warfare.
Yo.
Hey, Mickey.
Yo.
He's irritable and ready to get out of here. Fort Max.
Hello.
Who didn't even want to be here in the first place, and Paladin, who, well, he's Paladin. What else can I say?
Yep. Tim Curry?
Yeah. I really need to go back and listen to that episode where the Tim Curry thing was introduced.
Which episode was that?
Why?
It was the Cyber Squad episode.
I will go look for that then.
Actually, I believe it was after the Cyber Squad episode.
I don't know if I want to look that hard.
That's
it was somewhere in the first year, anyway. See, I don't have to go look that hard because I can just go through the files I have on my computer. But anyway, so there's toy news.
Well, not much.
Well, try harder.
Try hard with a vengeance.
We're getting a Figo Arts V3.
Yay!
A normal V3, not the next V3.
Or yes. Warrior Commander, if you prefer.
There you go.
So that makes, what, the fifth Showa-era writer to get a Figo Art release?
Two. Sky Rider is... Amazon was the third, Sky Rider's fourth, and V3. They've shown a stronger, haven't they, at a show or something?
They showed all of the Showa writers at a show, they just haven't had release
details.
That
was a few years ago, and they look completely different than they did back then, anyway.
Just like Master Asia.
Yeah.
So they're still working on it, assuming this actually comes out. We haven't heard anything else about Sky Rider or Stronger so far.
Yeah, but they got most of the first, the seven legendary done. That means they only have X left for those.
What about Rider Man?
Oh, well, yeah, I forgot about Rider Man.
Everybody forgets about Rider Man.
And they're
because
like,
they should.
Gak doesn't forget about
multiple,
Rider Man.
There are actually multiple versions of the... one and two that they could do.
Yeah,
and I'm sure they will
eventually.
With
V3 coming out, I imagine Rider-Man will probably be next then.
Maybe.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's basically V3 secondary, so.
Yeah.
And there are lots of accessories that they would have to do for him.
Yay, exclusives!
No, I have to do X so we can have a shot at Figo Art Starfish Hitler.
If anything, that'd be just a Figure Art Zero, and that wouldn't happen.
That would still be worth it.
Yeah, probably so. I mean, you don't really
Starfish f***ing Hitler.
Yeah, you don't need Starfish Hitler to actually do anything. He just has to stand there.
Isn't that all he did anyway?
Probably he was a show villain.
He has to be able to do the salute.
Well, he can be posed in the salute.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Well, it's the thing
I want to buy right now.
Well, I mean, it's no worse than that Professor Xavier toy that would do it repeatedly as you rolled him along.
I like that old Lex Luthor toy that'd punch himself in the face.
Well, isn't that what he does in the comics anyway? Basically, when you get down to fundamentals.
Maybe when
reading
he
is fundamental.
Except he punches himself in the face with a very super expensive glove or something.
That's only after he's finished with his 40 cakes.
A little bit of a sugar high.
That's Kogami.
And well, that's terrible.
If Kogami had less hair, he could be a Lex Luthor.
Lex Luthor still from Kogami?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And that's terrible. So, moving on.
Please.
Forge is getting one of those giant $200 rider figures.
The Project BM?
Right.
BM.
I know. You know, anytime I see something to say Project BM, I think of beast machines rather than bowel movements.
Well, yeah.
There's a difference between those.
Hey, I like beast machines.
Oh, God. I try.
Oh, God.
You stupid.
I like parts of beast machines.
It's still better than anything we've gotten in the past 10 years.
Yeah. And the CGI in Beast Wars,
like Prime.
The CGI in Beast Wars is better than anything we got between Armada and animated.
Well, that's undeniable, but
that doesn't say much.
But yeah, so is
the music video for Money for Nothing. So,
Forze getting a 1/6 scale figure isn't surprising because they do that for every single rider under the sun now. So.
Starting I've been reading some reviews on them, and apparently they're not all that great. They've got a lot of problems about stitching, popping if you bend the joints too far, and parts falling
off. Yeah,
apparently they made a Kabuto 2.0, and apparently it didn't turn out too great.
Nice.
Yeah. Kind of makes me glad I didn't plunk down for that Gokai Red. Though I still have been tempted, but I haven't seen anything really about it since.
Even so, I bet Mickey still wants that Project BM Date.
No, but I like the B.
Do they do with the B?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's coming out in February or March or something.
Oh, they're doing of the B. Okay.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about the B. If you wait long enough, you'll get it really cheap.
Well, that's not true with the figure art.
That's a good point.
Well, no, with the figure art, you just waited too long.
Oh, I see. I missed the sweet spot.
Because I think they did like two or three runs of the B and the other Kabuto figures.
Well, they just did a run of Cake Hopper last year, so maybe there's still a chance they could...
Did you say Cake Hopper?
Cake Hopper. You're still stuck on
Cake Puncher.
Regardless, they did a rerun of both Kabuto, Gatak, and Cake Hopper last year, actually. So there's still a chance they could rerun some of them.
Yeah, Drake and the Bee and Sasord are due.
Yeah.
Sasord's really due.
Amazon.
Do what?
Like Kabuto. Maybe they'll come over to Amazon like Kabuto did.
It's possible, actually, if they do another run that could be picked up by Bluefin.
Yeah. Most rider stuff that's coming out new is being picked up by Bluefin.
Yeah,
so.
And I'd be surprised if very, very surprised if V3 wasn't picked up by Bluefin, especially since V3's actually had a subbed release in the U.S.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah.
But,
nobody cares about that either, Fort Pax. I mean, it's interesting that that happened, but ultimately nobody cares that it happened.
Unfortunately. Otherwise, we'd have more than just V3 sub, probably.
And more than just Masked Rider the first movie.
Well, that's their fault for picking a shitty movie.
No, I'm just saying, though, if either of those things had done better, it would have been a gateway for more of that to be done on an official level.
Undoubtedly. But they didn't, then it's not.
Yeah, Masked Rider has no future in the U.S.
Nope.
We kind of talked about that the first time we talked about Dragon Knight long, long ago.
Nobody needs to remember that.
No, probably not, but a good point was made, which is just that doing a faithful version of Masked Rider for the U.S. isn't going to appeal to anybody who would buy it in the U.S. So.
Yeah, and that's been proven about several times now, so.
So what were we talking about before we got off on the BMs?
Toy news.
Toys.
Well, there's a list of upcoming releases. Some of the stuff we already knew about, like Thomas U. Webb exclusive Complete Ankh.
There's also a reissue of Ryuki Blank Form.
And I don't know why anyone would want that, but apparently, yeah.
Well, you know, the first one was an event exclusive.
That's why.
This one's a Tamashii Web exclusive, so people who could...
literally the most useless thing in the series.
Well,
yeah, but apparently
the reason, platform. The Figmas aren't event exclusive.
That's a good point.
Blank is still the most expensive Dragon Knight Figma.
Was Blank a retail for Figma? I can't remember.
Was anything for Figma not retail? I thought they were all
straight
retail.
I could swear there's at least one or two things that were some kind of an exclusive.
And if anything, I guess Blank would be one of those.
Ryuga, maybe?
Blank or Ryuga? It was a black Ryuki, one way or another.
But what I was going to say is, at least the Ryuki figure arts, you know, they're apparently among the nicest figure arts available right now. So if you're going to have, you know, plain reruns, at least of a good base body.
This is true.
And it's only 3,000 yen. That's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I have had no qualms picking up the Gokaigers as they come out, you know, besides the fact they're the Gokaigers.
Yeah, they're pretty cheap.
It's one of the best bodies Figure Arts has right now, too.
Have you gotten your Gokai Yellow yet?
Yes, I've had her, got her a couple weeks ago.
Have you talked about that on the show and I've forgotten?
Nope, we had a week where we missed it because of the everything was late.
Yeah, well, I can't remember this shit. Later on after we talk about Rescue Fire, why don't you talk about Gokai Yellow for us?
Sure.
It will cost you extra.
Yeah.
It did.
And then the other exclusive was what?
Nashiko from the Megamax movie.
Where the hell is my Kivara?
That seems to be the consensus at this point.
I mean, no offense, because I can't judge this character yet since we haven't seen the movie, but and I'm glad they're making her, but still.
Well, it's just as easy to judge Nadeshiko as Kivara, which is that this is a girl Forze, where Kivara was a girl Kiva.
Yes, this is a good point.
In Decade's movie, which makes as much sense as anything else in Decade, I mean.
Pretty much.
We can't really get upset because we know she's not going to survive the movie anyway.
This is true. Mm-hmm. But at least with Nadeshiko, you know that there are parts that will be ganking from Forze himself. Like they can remold they can use the mold for the driver or the rocket or whatever.
Something like that.
So yeah, it'll still be reusing some parts anyway.
Maybe they just figure they can't do a Kivara before they do like an actual Figure Arts Kiva.
Although Kivara's she's probably closer to Emperor than she is to normal Kiva.
Shut up, it's just a bad joke.
So anyway, back on the Gokaigers for a second. Gokai Pink comes out next week, while Gokai Silver was just released a few days ago.
And he sure is Gokai Silver.
Gold Mode add-on set has still not yet been announced.
He hadn't imagined it yet. Gold Mode parts and the you know, the drill Gokai Darn probably will be a set together.
I would expect, if not an entire different figure.
Followed by exclusive Bosco and probably Aka Red.
No monkey?
Nobody wants the f***ing monkey.
The monkey will probably be a zero.
It is a zero.
Well, yes.
And speaking of zeros, we have our first image of Power Rangers Super Samurai.
Oh, that's a great segue.
Interesting.
Featuring Super Mega Mode.
Well, we already got a preview of this.
It's a bathrobe on top of a football armor.
It's a bun. There was a day I used to defend you.
I just have nothing I can think of to say about that.
All of a sudden, the Green Ranger foam shield doesn't look so bad, does it?
Doesn't. I know.
I kind of wish that the Samurai Mega Mode costumes were made with that same level of design quality. Because, again, that would go back to how original Power Rangers was campy and cheap, and it just kind of went with it.
Yeah.
You know, this, they're throwing lots of money at it, and we're just getting shit product for the effort.
And it'll continue for another f***ing year.
Yeah. Yeah, it will.
Get a drink.
But on a more uplifting note, we have the second teaser for Go Busters, showing off the foot soldiers this time.
They look...
purple.
Like decayed, sort of.
I kind of think they look like purple grinders.
That works. I like the amount of non-suit fighting they actually showed in it. Which is not too unusual lately, but still nice to see.
Yeah, although I kind of imagine that after the first couple episodes that will decrease.
Well, it hasn't decreased too much in Gokaiger.
Well, it has compared to the first couple months worth.
Also true.
You know, if you remember that, there was a high instance of both untransformed and transformed foot soldier battles before the monster even got involved.
That's
true. Well, Guy imagined better fighting.
Honestly, I like the fighting in the early episodes compared to what came in later as they de-emphasized.
Okay, I'll revise. Guy imagined his version of better fighting.
There you go.
He was in it.
Yes.
And related to the teaser trailer, we have confirmed the opening theme for Go Buster.
Is Tokume Sentai Go Buster.
Or at least we know the singer now.
Oh.
And apparently it's the same guy who did the Go Onger theme.
I can approve of this.
Let's go on.
And
it's going to be the same set of guys going over and over again anyway, because it's all the same group.
Hmm. Well, it should be interesting then.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll look forward to it.
Sure. Can't be too bad. So anyway, any more news?
Yeah, you know who else is getting one of those giant Project Medicom figures?
Project Medicom? I don't think that works that way.
Project, well, BM stands for Bandai and Medicom, so close.
Okay, so who else?
Kenzaki from Blade.
Like I said, they do every writer in that now, so.
He seems like kind of an obscure choice, though.
I don't know, he's the main character of Blade, except for the fact that it's Blade.
Blade's a good series.
Oh no, Blade's a good series that gets no merchandise nowadays.
Yes.
Except for SIC Kiwami Tamashii.
Yeah, and everybody gets merchandise in that.
Exactly. Hibiki was the first one.
Which really tells you something about their selection process.
If they're doing foes, why wouldn't they just do Gentaro at the same time?
They'll have him out within a year.
They're trying to figure out how to deal with his magnificent hair.
Probably.
But speaking of Forze, I can't wait to see how SIC treats that.
That seems like an odd series to throw into SIC, but then again, so does Kabuto, and Kabuto works out.
I imagine it would end up looking a lot like Double, where, you know, it's just exaggerated on what it already is. It's not going to look, like, really weird.
Look like extra teched out.
Yeah.
But the only one that really worked for it was Skull.
No, I think all the Double Body SICs look pretty good.
I think Extreme looked better than the normal Double Body.
We still haven't seen O's SICs yet.
That's true.
And O's would look good in SIC.
Really would, actually.
Well, as good as SICs can look, anyway.
Hey, f*** your mother. SICs are awesome.
Yeah, SIC Tajidoru...
Cash up front.
SIC Tajidoru would actually probably be pretty impressive looking.
Yeah.
Which is why they'll do that one last.
As would Putoterra, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, You know,
Tajidoru was technically the last combo in the series.
You mean the last one that appeared in the series?
Yes. Anyway.
Right, that's what I mean. The last one shown in the series.
Sort of like his quote-unquote main upgrade.
And the one people would want the most, which is also why they do that last.
But no, Putoterra would work really good too, because SIC's tendency to either do two packs or have a figure that you can build into two or more forms. You know, they could do all the beast out parts for Putoterra,
yeah,
and really take it. They could really go to town with that on an SIC budget.
I'd actually be interested in that.
Yeah, actually, I mean, I could take.
Put more thought into it than the show did.
I could take beast out Putoterra even being bigger than the figure arts, because, I mean, it kind of makes sense. He's all going dinosaur.
And you get a functional Chompy axe, too.
Ooh. Yes. I like this idea, actually.
Yes, yes, I'm kind of on board with this.
So that's one thing I love about SIC is you get functional weapons and drivers for the most part.
See, that's one of the things that if I was going to get an SIC, I'd want to get one of the Deno figures because it has the Dengasher parts that you can build into the various weapons, even if most of them suck.
Yeah.
I mean, I was impressed when I first saw SIC Zeronos and the Zero Gasher could transform, which I guess is realized a little bit better than the Dengashers.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
See, the only downside is that SIC Zeronos Zero Form, the Denivic Buster can't transform into a Denib.
Yeah.
That would be really fantastic. Fortunately, it's not my problem to figure out how that would even work, so...
You just want them to make it, that's all.
Yes! speaking of SIC...
Hold on a second, guys.
No, this can't end well.
I wonder if we should just, like, continue the news without him, or if we're supposed to stop talking until he comes back.
Well, we're almost at the end of the news, anyway.
Yeah, you want to mention the new upcoming, or at least new shown SICs?
Didn't we start off with that?
Another Agito. And
no, I hadn't actually started the show at that point.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Well, at the tail end of the SIC news, we have new scans of Gills and another Agito, whose designs work really well in the SIC format.
Without even really being changed.
Yeah, they look exactly like Gills and another Agito.
And if they wanted to, they could easily repaint one of them into Shin.
Or they could take parts from both and then repaint that into Shin. See, they should release them in a 2-pack, and the thing you can build with the parts then, optionally, would be Shin Kamen Rider.
I wonder if Gills will have parts for Gills Exceed.
Hmm. I guess it depends how they release it. If they do release these two as a 2-pack, it probably won't.
Yeah, that's true.
But, I mean, when was the last time they did a 2-pack release like that? I don't really follow SIC that much.
Stolen Fang Joker.
Okay, so they are still... Well, and then... didn't they do the...
That was only in August. That was, like...
Yeah, and didn't they do the double combination forms in 2-packs also?
Heat Joker and Luna Trigger, yes.
Yeah.
Cyclone Joker is by himself.
Right. So, never mind. They could still totally do that. Like I said, I don't follow SIC. Okay, so is that all the news?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it this week.
Okay, that's a decent amount. And now I think it's space time.
It's space time.
Space.
Yeah. Okay, so who wants to do Forze? Probably not Mickey because his preview was not encouraging.
It's accurate, though.
Yeah, probably so.
Well, that parts
being,
of it.
That being, this is a Meteor Sit the F*** Down episode. Yeah. I like the episode, and I can't even deny that.
No, but it's good when the new writer doesn't dominate the series for several weeks.
Or
it's good when you start to build up momentum, then you kill it.
I don't think it's necessarily killed, but
comatose.
It is one of those slower paced first part episodes where Kamen Rider really, really wants to be an hour long show, but it can't.
Definitely turns it down several notches.
Yeah.
So apparently Yuki's responsible for designing the food droids.
Which explains every goddamn thing.
Well, it doesn't explain why Kengo goes along with it.
Because Kengo wants to bang her.
Well, yeah, there is that. They haven't really touched on that aspect in quite a while either.
Haven't focused on Kengo in a while either, so...
that's why we have this episode.
Exactly. They have to remind you he's actually supposed to be important.
Okay, so we got the hot dog food droid, which, at least in the subs we watched, is being called the Dig Dog. Is that actually the name of the toy, or did they translate it?
I think that's it didn't sound like anything she actually said, so it sounded like a bit of embellishment. Maybe,
so it's some kind of like bulldozer hot dog thing.
It's like a tank hot. Oh, the food droids aren't important. Anyway.
Well, no, I was just going to say that if it's like a bulldozer thing, I'm kind of disappointed it's not what it looked like originally, which was, you know, the wiener tank.
Either way, it is a wiener that turns into a...
There's no good follow-up on that.
Yeah. It's a robot hot dog. What are you going to say about it?
I just wanted to say wiener tank. You're the one who kept on about it.
I tried to move on.
Yes, but you tried to move on before I made my joke.
Oh.
Gave your mom my wiener tank.
They both died.
Actually, your mom is a wiener tank when you think about it. So, the Forza episode.
Yeah.
Anytime, guys, would be great.
Yeah.
Anyway, up on the moon.
Kengo's pissed off because Ryusei's in his chair and designing new switches.
Or tuning them, anyway.
And they figure out the magic hand one.
Or no, that's not magic. One. Yeah, it's just hand. It's not magic hand.
You think this would be the more magic hand because it comes from a foot.
And it also works without you having to, like, work it. So yes, this would
you
be
have
more...
to completely fail at finding the square root of 49.
Isn't that 7?
Yes.
Well, it's Gintaro. I imagine Ryusei set that up just to torture him.
Well, didn't Gintaro say in a few episodes back that he can't stand math?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that would follow up on that.
Yeah.
Apparently Tachibana has good intelligence on all of them.
I love Tachibana, but that's only because his voice actor.
Well, the rest of the time it's, why am I floating here in space like this?
Yes, but it's also Hiyama, so I can't really complain.
In the meantime, we see two new switches that they're working on called Magnet North and South.
Which look like black repaints of, like, what, Rocket and...
No, they don't really look like repaints to me.
They look like they
Rocket and Drill, since they're already a pair.
Yeah, they look the same as the early ones.
Hold on, let me...
I mean, they are just placeholders.
Well, this is true.
Although, I could totally see now, like, you know, candy toy versions of Magnet coming out like these. The same way we got Extreme Memories that weren't
the
bird.
They certainly will. No, they don't look like Magnet. They don't look like, I'm on the close-up here. They don't look like Drill and whatchamacallit.
Well, anyway. Anyway, move on with the episode before Mickey kills us all.
We confirm Scorpio was sent to the Dark Nebula, so that's their name for the home for infinite losers in this show.
The other dimension.
Yeah, other world.
And Virgo's definitely taking over. Even though Virgo doesn't do a damn thing in this episode.
Except...
Virgo just stands there ominously.
Yeah, apparently she's now keeping an eye on Hayami.
I'm not really prepared to use any proper pronouns for Virgo after what they did with Scorpio.
Yeah. I'm not entirely convinced that she is a she until she untransforms.
I mean, really, we have no proof that this isn't like a dog.
It's a trap.
No, you know,
no. It's a, it's
Virgo
a
trap. Virgo could be the new Smilodon.
Yeah, Scorpion was a reverse trap, so...
Anyway, a fight breaks out between Gintaro and Kengo, and the writers suddenly remember that Kengo is sickly.
Ah, how convenient.
Well, again, they have not focused on...
Yeah, that's how you know this is a Kengo focus episode.
Like 8 episodes, so...
And Ryusei just wonders why they can't talk about it like rational human beings.
Well, that's because he hasn't been around them long enough.
Because they're not rational human beings.
Yeah, he hasn't really realized that this is an endemic problem yet.
Oh, give him another episode or so.
Yeah.
He does have this look when they're fighting. He's like, what the hell?
Well, that's just how Gintaro expresses his friendship.
Like knocking out a girl against a wall.
Sure. Whatever did happen to all those guys behind the school, anyway?
Oh, they're still there.
I think they're probably in the hospital. That's why they never showed up again. We didn't see that time he broke all their legs.
Right.
How else can he befriend the shit out of them without his fists?
So Ryusei ends up talking to Tachibana up in the satellite.
While Kengo meets some track star he used to be friends with or something.
And Tachibana says something about part of the goal being to strengthen Forze's arsenal. Is that the first time we've heard of that goal?
Yeah.
That just seemed to kind of come out of nowhere.
Though we are... Anything new for meteor does kind of come out of nowhere, though, because we don't really know what the hell's up with Tachibana.
I guess.
And speaking of out of nowhere, in comes the dragon Zodiart.
Sure does.
Well, how is that a f***ing dragon?
It's Japanese.
Dragon.
It has feathers.
It's Japanese.
It looks like they recycled the Ankh suit.
No, the Ankh suit did not have an eye in its beak.
And it didn't have heads for hands.
Or giant balls. Although that comes later. The giant balls always come later.
Moving on again.
God.
That's right, I said it.
Dragon Zodiart is immune to electric switch and resists fire switch, so...
He's not just immune to the electric switch, he's absorbing the energy from it.
Oh, of course. Why would you use those attacks on a dragon type?
Right, only dragon works against dragon.
He must have the lightning rod ability, too.
God.
Well, no, ice attacks also work.
That's right.
Can I talk anywhere?
What'd you say?
Nothing.
I'll just hear it in the recording anyway.
She will.
So since he resists electricity and fire, shouldn't he use a water switch to try and take him down?
No, he needs an ice switch, because that's the only thing that works against dragon type if you don't have a dragon yourself.
And they haven't made a dragon switch yet.
Yet.
Right. Well, they've only got like 10 more switches to go, so they better hurry up.
It's surprising. They got like 30 episodes left, and they're almost through all the damn switches.
Well, I think the second story arc here is just going to be, you know, getting to the 40th switch, which will probably be Forza's super mode.
Well, plus at some point they'll be trading out Elec and Fire for Meteor to use.
Yeah.
Because those are compatible with the Meteor driver.
So Foz tries to use the two new switches, but they backfire because not even Ryusei knows how the magnets work.
Kengo apparently did, and nobody listens to him.
I guess Kengo's dad really didn't understand how magnets worked either, since he's the one who designed the switches.
Well, maybe he did, but he was probably crazy by that point.
Yeah, really, it does need to be a process that the closer they get to Switch 40, the less and less sense the switches should make.
Look, I mean, we're getting a giant foot.
This actually, yeah, this is true. I mean, and we had the wheel last week, the Segway Switch.
And there's a flashlight.
Yeah. Oh, hey, there's the power dizer.
I never expected to see that again.
For 3 seconds.
Then
it disappears.
So I assume that the power dizer is not actually made of metal itself.
Well, there's nothing to say it wasn't sucking it in. For all we know, it could have sucked it. Forza could have drawn it back from the school at that point.
Maybe
she just happened to be in it.
he was just kind of tooling around the campus.
What else do jocks do? I mean, come on.
That's why we haven't seen the power dizer in a few episodes. Shun has been using it as his car. I approve of this plan.
What happened to his last car?
Giant robots.
It got destroyed by Fours.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is true.
Either way, I approve of this plan.
So Tachibana gives Ryusei another covert plan to use for the magnet switches, and he suggests using a smartphone, because that's the f***ing answer to everything nowadays.
Well, this now, Japan.
Of course, when they're... Now, of course, I love that the scenes where they argue in the bay sign, simply because of all the stuff that's going on, and Shun with that pink pillow.
He's just sitting there hugging it as everybody's scrunched up.
Shun needs his security.
But I do kind of like how Ryusei was like, okay, I'll just pull the wool over their eyes and I have all these blueprints, and Kengo's like, not so fast.
And then Kengo decides to flip some tables and quit the writer club.
Oh, come on, he's not strong enough to flip no damn table.
Well, I was going to say, he didn't really flip tables because then the ringing in his head would have started up again, but, you know,
the table's probably bolted to the ground.
You know, he could just turn down the gravity and then he could flip the tables easily.
Nah, not even then.
Okay.
It can't escape the gravitational pull of your mom.
Well, that's their artificial gravity source in the rabbit hutch.
Oh, that explains everything.
All that switch does is move her closer or farther away from the floor.
No, it moves the floor closer and farther away from her.
Well, you know, Fort Max, it's really in space, it's really a relative thing.
Either way, it works about the same.
Yeah. It just increases or decreases the distance between your mom and the floor. Just like up and down is a relative concept in space. Basically, the direction your mom is always down.
So Kango's still being stalked by that track girl.
Oh, track. I thought you said trap.
Who suddenly walks away, and then the dragon Zodiard appears. But what a coincidence.
Not before Gintaro has a crying fit on the roof. With the hot dog.
And Trackstar girl is all worried about being tall.
Yeah.
I don't really get girls.
Obviously, you're here.
Oh, well, neither does Toei typically, but so.
And then Gintaro can't figure out how the f*** to answer a phone.
This shouldn't be surprising at this point.
I guess not.
Well, at least it's not like an N-gauge. You'd never figure out how to work that thing.
It'd be less cumbersome than that mag phone.
Yeah, I guess so.
Slightly.
Well, what? The thing's only about the size of a bag phone.
Actually, yeah. It actually it's bigger than Guy.
And Meteor transforms without any of them noticing?
Well, he was over there.
They were kind of busy, you know, with the
dragon.
He was
6 feet away from them. There's no way they could possibly see that.
They didn't even hear the f***ing saddle lasers or anything?
No, of course not. I mean, it's just like when the Power Rangers transform in the hallway of the high school. You know, as long as they're standing in a corner somewhere,
As long as the camera doesn't show anyone else.
Right.
Yeah. In all fairness, they were kind of busy watching Forza nearly get his head ripped off.
Never mind the giant blue beam coming down from the sky or anything.
Oh yeah, there is that.
Nobody's gonna notice.
Nobody ever claimed these guys to be perceptive.
Besides, that's probably not even a visible wavelength. It's just, you know, converted for the camera.
And they don't mind the song.
No, of course not.
Well, they should.
Or the Disco Inferno.
Yeah, I love the sounds Meteor's belt makes during the transformation.
But he doesn't use any of his special attacks in this episode.
Yay!
Well, at least his actual hand-to-hand fight, of course, I wasn't here for the last two episodes, but his actual hand-to-hand fighting is a lot better now.
Yeah, well, basically what we came up with while you were gone was that since he's not shoehorned in the last 30 seconds, they actually had time to, like, choreograph the fighting.
Yeah. They were like, oh, wait, we need to sell these on Christmas Day.
Yes!
And Forrest still can't figure out how to use a phone.
Well, what he can't figure out how to do is break a flip phone, which really is actually a lot easier than answering a flip phone.
This is true, actually.
Hmm.
And Magphone is blasting off again.
Yeah, they didn't really explain how that worked either.
Hopefully next week.
But, you know,
like Magphone, it probably just magnetized to something.
This episode is just all set up, basically.
Yeah. Well, that part's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
It's all set up, but will there be a payoff?
Hopefully.
Yeah, new toy.
Magnet states.
Yeah.
How the f*** does it work?
Oh, I still find that funny, yet I do.
Just like foes.
I think it's Paladin's delivery, actually.
Yeah.
There's something mildly deadpan yet upbeat about the way he says it. It's kind of like a Janine Garofalo thing, except, you know, almost funny.
Who?
The only thing about Magnet States in the preview, I honestly like how it looks. It looks like, you know, Force A put on a spacesuit, effectively. You have the phone part still sticking out, so when he reaches down, it looks like he's piloting his crotch.
He is.
They relocated the rocket switch.
Good news, it's a suppository.
Well, it is the only other port left open. Alright. Well, if that's Forza, we have nothing else to talk about except for power playback, because due to various things happening, there's no Gokaiju this week. Or at least not yet. Personally, at the rate it's going, I don't think it's going to come out till Thursday or Friday.
Ever.
Yeah, they're just going to skip this. They'll skip this one and go on to 48.
Well, I guess we
should judging by the preview, that seems like a great idea.
In theory, I guess we should be happy it's taking a long time to come out, because there's only 5 episodes left, you know.
Well, just because it takes longer doesn't mean there's more of it.
Well, it'll seem like there's more of it.
It just means we have to suffer waiting longer in between. Alright, so let's take a break and we'll come back and do power playback and Ken will talk about his Gokai Yellow.
Sure.
Hey everybody, it's your old friend John DeLuna, and do you like video games? Do you like people who like video games? Well, if so, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. It's the weekly video game podcast of record. News, rumors, in-depth discussion of new and retro gaming, plus the occasional contest or giveaway. So if you game, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. Check us out at tfradio.net, a proud member of the Transformers Internet Radio Network.
The third strike, you're on the Street Fighter 3.
It's time for Power Playback. Look for Power Playback every Friday on Twitter at superhero_time.
All right, it's time for Power Playback. Rescue Fire, hurry up.
Well, this is the most random episode to start with.
It's also probably the most random series we've had in a while.
Well, Ken, we chose this the same way we chose several other things in the past, which was episode title.
Just for some clips, I could have probably thought of some better actual episodes, but...
Well, you weren't here.
I know.
So you don't get to, like, nitpick at us over this.
I'm not nitpicking.
Well, you were going to.
It's random.
It is a very random episode, but it seems like also just, you know, a random episode.
Yeah. Which actually was... seems about accurate.
It's kind of the point for it.
Yeah,
sure.
For the episode or for the series?
Both.
Sadly, in this episode, we did not get any, like, new toys beyond what you would have seen in the, like, first or second episode.
Yeah.
The toys for the series don't look that good anyway, so.
Yeah.
But the CGI looks great, though.
When it's not stock footage.
Well.
It looks great in stock footage, but they use stock footage a lot. In case you didn't notice in this one episode.
A toku show using a lot of stock footage?
No. Rescue Force and Fire, from everything I've seen, uses a lot of stock footage.
Ah, well, you want to know how bad the stock footage thing is? In the first episode of Rescue Fire, they used stock footage from Rescue Force.
Yeah, well,
explained it as they borrowed one of the rescue vehicles from Rescue Force.
Yeah. But anyway, Rescue Fire and Rescue Force and... what, Ryu Kendo before it?
And Grand Caesar and Justy Riser.
Yeah, they're basically Takara Tomy's answer to Toei and Bandai's tokusatsu shows.
Some of them work, some of them don't.
Yeah.
This one's kind of in the middle.
I think it might be the episode, but one thing throughout this episode you can tell is that it's really geared... not that Kamen Rider and Sentai aren't, but it's geared towards children and really kind of doesn't mask it any.
Well, you know, this series is based around die-cast cars, essentially.
Yeah.
And play sets but, for them.
As example, to start with, we have only 3 of the 5 members of Rescue Fire sitting around, basically.
Playing solitaire.
Effectively. Their commander brings in somebody from, what was it, the JAF?
Japan's version of AAA.
PDOT.
Yeah, the government's AAA.
So, wouldn't the Japanese AAA be like Triple J? Because it's Japanese and not American.
No, but, Triple A.
But to demonstrate,
they like the Fonz over there.
In this
sounds
episode,
so creepy.
We'll eventually let you continue, Kev. When we're ready to stop having fun, we'll let you keep talking, Ken.
As I was saying, the episode just stops to explain stuff to the kids and the audience of what this organization is and what it does and how it functions, like, to the letter. Including, like, stock footage that is probably from the government itself.
Yeah, I got that impression.
Yeah, it's like, it's trying to be educational, except it just is really heavy-handed with it.
Yeah.
Like your mom was holding it?
Kind of like Ecogunger.
Anyway, the commander asked the idiot, the idiot, Fire One, I can't remember any of their names at this point.
Isn't he
the orange one?
Tatsuya? Yeah, the orange one.
Fire Orange.
Yeah, Fire Orange.
The Orange Ranger to explain.
Well, wasn't everybody orange in Rescue Force?
Sort of. They had offset colors also. Like, I think the main one was orange and blue, and then one of them was orange and red, and there was orange and white, and so forth.
Well.
Yeah.
Okay, so Rescue Dumbass.
Yeah, it tries to explain what an extreme
fire
is.
Dumbass, whatever.
And fails miserably.
He doesn't really explain it. He just kind of describes what happens when there is one.
Well, he mostly describes the sounds.
Yeah.
He acts like Guy when he sees a former Sentai member.
Yeah, yes. Rescue Guy.
I think he ate a lot of paint chips as a kid.
Well, that's why he's orange now.
And our
paint chips are delicious.
Especially the yellow ones. They're the ones that have a lot of lead in them.
But he can't explain anything, so they let the girl do it.
That's how desperate they were.
Then we go back to the villains, showing off how great this new toy is that you should go out and buy.
Also, it should be noted here that the villain leader character is basically Fire Kremzeek.
Yeah, that's what he looks like.
Yeah.
How'd he look familiar?
Well, if you would have seen the full body shot of him in the first episode, you would have made the connection faster.
Yeah.
I actually tried to watch some episodes of this leading up to 23 to get a feel for the series itself, but I only got through the first two before all the files went away.
You know, a notable fact that is not even apparent here is that the guy that plays Fire 5, Four and five are not in this episode. It's actually the guy who played Miura or the Orion Zodiar in Forze.
Japan likes to reuse its toku actors.
Does.
It's not like they have anything better to do.
Because, I mean, the commander in Force was Date, right?
Yes. R5 captain, I think.
Yeah.
One of those numbers.
He was the last one, I think, so he was R5.
He was the one wearing the Daisy Dukes.
In explosive runs, yeah.
Yeah, and then of course, Rider One is the head of everything here. So, yeah, they like to reuse their actors.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, the female villain goes off to make up her own plan, while Orange Ranger and what's her face? I guess the cook.
She runs the cafeteria, from what I can gather.
She runs the cafeteria at the headquarters.
Of course, because Japan.
Yeah. Are out doing groceries and run across the lady from the JAF and her family, as her husband is a florist and their son has an obsession with their beat up old truck.
Bonto.
It seems like a really, I mean, kids get their fixations on things, but
well, that was so where he first learned to sing a song or something like that.
So I'm guessing JF lady like fell in love with her retarded cousin and
man, they could not have picked
gave birth to this kid.
I mean, I shouldn't, you know.
I didn't realize they had hillbillies in Japan.
Thank you. This is the ugliest motherfucker they could have chosen.
His grill is fantastic. That shit needs to be coated in platinum.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. But anyway, the kid's obsessed with the truck, and then...
That truck sure is a piece of crap, especially when they obviously have a much nicer van, like, two spaces back in their driveway.
Yeah.
JAF lady is not going to let him drive her car.
It's true.
Fill it full of dirty flowers.
Yes. Anyway, he breaks down on the road, and then...
And then the car stops working.
Yeah, of course. Conveniently enough for the lady fire villain person. What the hell is her name?
I don't know.
Kegarishia?
I never watched her. Fire Kegarishia.
And anyway, she summons a fire flower.
Yes, a fire flower. And of course in Rescue Fire and Rescue Force it seems that all monsters are CGI.
Yes.
Is that about right?
Far as I've ever seen.
They're all fire, too.
Well, in Rescue Fire, they are, because they're... The monsters are the extreme fires.
It's kind of a theme with the show of fire.
Oh, well. Better catch some rock types.
Anyway, the commander gives them a Nazi salute and sends them off.
Oh, so that's what happened to Starfish Hitler.
Anyway, more gratuitous CGI.
And probably stock footage, too.
Yeah, or yes. You can tell anytime it's a blue highway... It's stock footage.
Ah, yes, the Blue Highway. Now, that's an interesting one, because I'm pretty sure that's like a Matchbox-style playset.
Yeah, and it even has the little...
accelerator thing?
Yeah.
The roller accelerator thingies.
Yeah.
Because that's just perfectly necessary for them.
For anybody who doesn't actually know this, you know, it's Tamika Hero Rescue Fire. Tamika is a popular... brand of die-cast cars in Japan.
You can find them at Tuesday Morning.
Formerly of Toys R Us.
If, like, every time they got their vehicles, they actually had to remove them from giant blister cards.
The first time that they would ever receive the new vehicle, they had to remove them from the packaging. Then every time subsequent, they had to go dig them out of a bucket or a basket or something in the closet.
They have to undo twist ties holding them in.
No. And standing in their way of getting them in the first place is Hot Wheels collector guy.
Oh, God.
should have been the villain for Rescue Force.
Takara's even been putting out, like, Transformers vehicles as Tamika.
Yeah.
Lately.
So they load up with Sideswipe, Ratchet, and Skids and head out.
Oh, come on. Now that's a
Rescue
much...
Rescue Nissan Cube.
Oh, come on.
Rescue
that's
Nissan
not
every...
That's that... Flap. That's that vehicle that has the weird back window that's, off...
Yeah.
That's,
Yeah, it's a cube.
Asymmetrical. Yeah. Nissan Cube.
Anyway, they are...
It's Nissan Rescue Everything. All those cars are Nissans.
It's the Nissan knockoff Scion XB.
Yeah.
Anyway, after Fire 1 stops the stupid kid from running to the giant fire, they arrive to a traffic jam... And transform. And I will give credit. The transformation is actually pretty cool.
And I also really like the suits. They all...
Yeah.
They actually look like...
Rescue suits?
Firefighters.
Yeah. They look like the firefighting suits, but they look also more like the typical... They adapted really well to the typical Metal Heroes-y type bulk.
Yeah,
I also like that the girl's suit does not look like a girl's suit.
I also like bulk. I also like the animated bulkhead chin one of them has.
That's Rescue.
I like how Rescue Orange has breasts.
And if you look at him from a certain angle, he appears to have a skirt too.
Combined with his
apparent breasts, you know, if you look at him from the wrong angle, you get a really bad idea.
Rescue trap.
Yes.
Anyway, they summon their weapons and fight off the mooks while the JAF lady arrives to move the cars while they go to save her stupid hillbilly husband.
No, they're saving the car.
Yeah.
The husband's just a coincidence.
Yeah, we get more exposition explaining that JAF, they also move cars for people.
Yeah, they stop in the middle of the damn fight for a close-up on this lady's face. Perfectly framed, just so she can explain to the kids what they do.
And then there's the foot soldiers.
Oh, the foot soldiers. Yeah, I'm kind of glad that the monsters in this series are mostly CGI.
Because otherwise they'd probably look like this.
Pretty much. The hero suits look fine. They look great. Monsters, not so much.
Yeah.
They look like orange KKK guys.
The generals look okay.
Yeah.
Not great, but
I like the general suits from Rescue Force a little bit better, but you know, those are more mechanical themed that remind me of the Guy arc.
Okay.
There's kind of a Guy arc vibe to them.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Especially the way that in that movie we watched, they all stopped in an empty bar to get wasted.
Oh, jeez. Anyway, there's a gas leak in the crappy truck, but they completely forget about this later on.
I'm not surprised that thing's leaking.
The characters don't mention it either.
They don't mention it at all. They make one weak attempt to put it out.
They mention that they need to put it out.
Oh, yeah.
And then the writers completely forget about it.
Yeah, and then the flower throws up, shows up, throws up, and blasts R3.
Nice.
Anyway, fires all over the place. You know, it must have been really hot on set there sometimes.
The fire's real? It's not CG?
I'm not sure.
No, it's not CG. It's composited in.
Oh, well, that might be. So.
How do the composited
sure use cover real fire? Would use video footage of actual explosions and composited in.
Yeah, well, the special effects are still pretty good enough to...
It's passable.
If you're watching at a glance, which I kind of was.
It's still better than what Ryder was doing at the time with their composited in explosions and fire, which was...
Well, that's still better than what Kamen Rider does with its composite explosions most of the time anyway.
Well...
And now.
Yeah.
This is only a couple of years ago.
And their morphers are megaphones that turn into talking robots that can also control vehicles?
No, only Fire Dumbass has the one that turns into a talking robot because they decided that he needed help.
Well, megaphones
are... That was the point of episode 2. To give him the little robot megaphone helper. Yes.
Well, I cannot fault that logic.
Oh, no, not at all. Especially if you would have seen the first episode where he was late to his first day of work because he was riding a kid down chasing a train to now try... What?
I have seen the first episode before, but it was a long time ago. I forgot about it. I remember the first episode ends with R3 slapping him.
Yeah, that sounds right.
But, yeah. Which is appropriate.
Yes.
Which made me like her a whole lot more.
And of course, I also like how embarrassed the robot megaphone is of having him as a partner.
Yes, well, that was present from the start, too.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But the other ones just have regular rescue megaphones.
One thinks it's a great idea to risk his neck to save the stupid car. Then he does. Somehow.
Hooray. Now, also, I could tell that he seemed disappointed when he found out that... that lady had a kid. Like, you could just kind of see from his look that...
Aw. Like he stood a chance in the first place.
Right.
But yeah, he also does this by using his megaphone.
It's kind of if we actually thought that he was that smart.
This is true.
He is not.
But he also uses the megaphone to talk to the car.
To make it start.
Yes.
I have
well, it
no
didn't
idea.
Work when Sosuke talked to Mach Falcon. I don't think it's going to work now.
But it does. But
it did.
Apparently, they needed R1, not go on red. Not R1, fire.
Fire one.
R1 was that'd be Rescue Force, right?
Yes.
I've been doing that the whole time, haven't I?
I forget.
You know what you're talking about.
It's good enough.
Anyway,
so he summons the Fire Dragon Zord.
Yeah, the fire
tamer.
After the firefighter blows up, and you know fire lady makes her monster grow.
No, it's Pyro Rescue 1.
Pyro Rescue 1.
Because this one doesn't transform into a robot by itself, Fort Max.
True.
Well, if it transforms into a robot at all, I have not actually seen far enough to determine that.
I know there's a robot at some point. In the meantime, Fire Dragon's got nothing on Fire Dagwon.
Yeah, that's what Rescue One's or Fire One's vehicle should have been, a jumbo jet.
But then they couldn't run
perfect
it through
way
the racetrack.
To fight fires.
Yeah, that...
Wait, giant dragon fire truck.
Yeah.
Why not? Giant ice dragon fire truck.
Well, ice beats fire.
No, it's a Yu-Gi-Oh card.
Well, yeah, that is like the general theme of their attacks. So, obviously. But
blue
yeah,
eyes fire truck
that thing
dragon.
Moves a lot better than you would think it would. Thank you, CGI.
Yeah.
Again, good CGI.
Yes.
Very good.
It has actual textures.
Yes.
It has shadows.
It actually has shadows and dirt and grime.
And it has a sense of weight about it.
Yeah, all those
Are
other
Are you sure we're not
like,
talking about
of...
your mother all of a sudden?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure we wouldn't be praising how good it looked.
Yes, we wouldn't be satisfied with those textures.
We would explosively extinguish it.
Nice. Yeah,
all these other corners they cut are do pay off at least in the CGI. I will
so
give
what,
it that definitely.
So let's talk about Pyro Rescue One's finishing attack. Whereupon it ejects a flaming Nissan at the monster.
Yes. After freezing it.
Yes.
Infusing it with the power of an ice dragon.
But seriously, the finishing attack is to fire a Nissan at it.
Well, that would hurt.
well
especially when frozen.
After you freeze it, how else are you going to break it if your weapon is a car? You're going to drive into it, or fly into it, or be rocketed into it.
I guess being on fire would be a benefit in that case.
Or infused it with the power of a dragon.
Of course, they never actually explain why they all have dragons to infuse things with.
Because it's tokusatsu.
Because dragons are awesome.
Dragons make everything better.
But where
dragons
are, its,
are all over Japan.
It is kind of
feathers,
backwards
though.
Because it's a fire monster that they freeze and they fire a flaming car at.
Well, that's why you have to freeze it first so the fire becomes
It makes
effective.
Sense, okay? Fire, you freeze it, but then you got an ice thing you got to feed. So how do you feed ice? Well, you use fire.
It's so cyclical.
I understand this perfectly.
It does make sense. I can't argue that.
However, this is also a grass type, so it's weak against both.
So, like, if they had encased the monster in dirt, they would fire, like, a plant Nissan at it.
The grass Nissan.
Anyway, stupid car is okay.
Oh, it would be a hybrid, because it'd be green.
Everybody's happy. The end.
Well, that was a sudden ending.
What else are you going to say? They blew the thing up, and then it's family fun times with Hillbilly Jack.
And they're
yes,
still
they
driving the stupid truck.
Flowers, because flowers make everyone happy, and they exist for humans to be pleased by them.
I was trying to...
Wow.
No, it's more like wow.
From the looks of the episode preview, we missed a good episode by like one.
Probably in either direction, honestly.
Probably two, because we could have seen Rider 1 if we went to 25.
Overview of the series.
Okay, I can't even tell what he's saying this time. That's a little too thick for me.
Okay.
That's what she said.
There we go.
Yes. I think this was a good episode because it's a standalone episode that didn't require any previous knowledge to make sense of.
True. Mm-hmm. It made perfect sense. They're firefighters. There was a fire. They blew it up with a flaming Nissan.
On the other hand, I don't really think it inspired me to watch much more of the series. I
have seen further things later on, like, say, the mostly clips and stuff, but the introduction of, like, Gaia Leon looks freaking awesome. Mm. Which is their giant mecha lion.
As if the name wasn't a tip-off.
Yeah, and naturally, then it gets its own theme song by Masaki Endo.
Score!
So basically, it's like one huge Gal Gaigar reference.
Fantastic! Well, Galgiger was a Takara property too, wasn't it?
Exactly.
So it makes absolute sense.
Yeah. And Misaki Endo is part of Jam Project, so since
which is also another Takara property.
Apparently, because Jam Project do songs for any tokusatsu that is not made by Toei.
So who makes Garo?
Amamiya's pocketbook, it seems like. But
well, doesn't Bandai do the merchandising for Garo?
Yeah, they do. But I'm talking about just production wise. It's some I forget the exact production company that does Garo. It's not Takara or anything, but
right. No,
that's
if it was
too adult.
Yeah.
If it was Takara, it would look completely different.
Oh, got it.
Plus, Takara doesn't actually isn't Takara Tomy isn't a TV production company.
Right.
That actually reminds me. I haven't seen the last episode, the episode before last, episode 15 of Garo, but I saw that they introduced another Makai Knight. Is that the guy that was in Kiva?
Jiro. Also Zanki.
A blue wolf.
Also he was, Zanki and Hibiki?
Okay.
I don't know why I'm asking any of you, because none of you have actually watched that much.
No.
Oh, it's the first episode of Hibiki.
Which I don't think was sufficient to introduce Zanki, was it?
I was so excited to
It was
say
sufficient
that.
To cure my interest in Hibiki.
Exactly.
But yeah, that was a nice little reference anyway. But yeah, I would like to see Jam Project, or somebody from Jam Project, actually do something for Kamen Rider or Sentai again, but it doesn't seem likely at this point.
No, probably not. And really, we need more Jam Project in general.
Just in general, yes. That's not for not for card game anime. Good lord.
Well, we also need Psychic Lover to do less card game and battle top anime songs, so.
Or they should just cross over Yu-Gi-Oh! With Beyblade.
Didn't they?
Have, like...
Well, Psychic Lover did a theme for the shitty current Digimon series.
Yeah, that's not really inspiring much.
I hate hunters. Anyway.
Alright, so Ken, why don't you talk to us a little bit about your Figure Arts Gokai Yellow that you paid extra for.
Gokai Yellow is short.
Well, she's a girl.
Yes. It seems especially noticeable with her, because I don't think Gokai Yellow's suit actor is that much shorter than some of the others.
Well, no, because he's a guy.
Yeah. So it stands out a little bit. Man, I never had actually the Shinken Girl body, so I don't...
See, what you need to do is... What you need to do is take the legs off of one of the guy Gokaiger figures and put it on Gokai Yellow, then the height will probably even out. And you wouldn't know any difference in the parts, so...
Yeah. But, you know, it's... Basically, it's the Gokai body with a...
Rack?
Yes. And it's... Now,
well,
it's
not a real rack, it's just padding.
Now, the thing with the female Sentai bodies is that they all come with exchangeable parts for the skirt. So that way, if you need to have them move their legs forward or have be more mobile, you can do that.
At but the sacrifice of having a skirt.
The skirt splits apart then.
Yeah.
I've not done that because I am ridiculously afraid of pulling this exclusive figure in half just to try and do that, and to get a crappy result in the process.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like you're missing that much by swapping out the skirt for the shorts. Yeah.
Plus, the solid one that comes with it is not solid, it's actually...
A soft plastic.
Soft plastic. So
yeah, the point I think of...
the poses you would want out of her.
I think the point of having... I think the point of having... the replacement parts is just so if you want to leave it in some pose, you know, on a display or whatever for an extended period, then there's not a concern of warping skirt plastic.
Yeah.
I know all about warped skirts from my Apparently. Gundam collecting days.
Sure.
Is it the same material that the tail of the coats is made out of on blue and red?
Let's see. Whoop. There goes blue.
Yes,
yes,
I mean
it is.
That's fairly pliable.
Yes, it's the exact same material, in fact.
Yeah. So how much did you pay for your Gokai Yellow?
Probably
come on now, dredge up the memory. Don't repress it.
Well,
wait, don't tell us. Let's all take a guess like Price is Right style.
This sounds good. Okay, go ahead.
Mickey?
$85.
Fort Max?
$75.
Paladin?
$76.
A dollar.
Now, question is, are those prices shipped or before shipped?
I was thinking shipped.
Yeah, we'll go with shipped.
Yeah.
80 shipped.
Damn, I went over.
So Paladin won. Paladin won by a dollar. Good job.
That means you get to go up on stage and kiss Ken, right?
No, God, no.
God, no.
If you think about it, though, 5,000 yen on Mandarake plus shipping and getting here within a week, that would have cost nearly that much anyway.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that bad by comparison.
That's not terrible.
Contrast.
You know, if it wasn't available on HLJ,
coming for about the same price, so
if it would have been available on HLJ, if it was a normal figure, you could have gotten it for like 55 with the same. Yeah, well, I'm just figuring 55 because with the Gokai Darin, that would probably be a little bit bigger box.
Yeah, that's the point.
But you know, that's not bad, really.
It's not too shabby.
I mean, it's more than I would be comfortable paying right now, but it's not terrible.
Yeah. Anyway, the parts she comes with are the double bladed Gokai saber that she combines, which is slightly disappointing, simply because Gokai Blue's 5 sword style one, each one of the Gokai cylinders was removable, and they had an extra one for each and every one of them. Luca doesn't.
Okay, but the thing with that is, having those Gokai cylinders do that was, you know, a part of
the
its feature in the show.
Because she's never done a final wave with the double-bladed one.
Right. Now, I guess by that same note, you could argue that the 5 sword-style one could have just had the maximum drive pieces in there already. And not
well,
be replaceable.
No, because
but
he used it without it, too, so it would be technically more accurate to have.
Plus, also, Luca's a girl.
Well, no, I'm
on
gonna,
the hand, who cares?
I'm going to stick with the, she hasn't done a final wave with it, so she doesn't need the cylinders.
Luca
changeable.
Does come with her wire Gokai Saber, though. One of them. And it's,
well, you have to buy the add-on pack for the second one.
Well, it's a solid enough wire, and it works fine if you had two of them. The second one comes with Aim, who has never used that. On the other hand, if you're going as far to buy an exclusive Gokai yellow figure,
you're buying pink.
You're probably going to buy pink also, and you probably have green, red, and blue too.
Yeah.
What does pink come with?
Pink comes with the double gun that she blew the crap out of Deca Break with, and the other
that
wire.
That sounds wrong out of context.
Remember when she caught Deca Break's fist and then you held?
You're not helping yourself.
She stopped Deca Break's light speed punch, and she held both of her guns in one hand and then blew them.
No,
out.
No,
you're
still
not helping there either.
Either way,
that's
what
she comes
with.
You do that to a ball of light, anyway.
I did, for a second.
You just gotta start dangling around your hand some first.
Anyway, I think that's all Aim comes with, plus her Darin.
You know, it was always my impression that the anchors that all the Gokaijers seem to have, when somebody remembers, was actually what was attached to Luca's Gokai Saber to swing it around like that.
I figure it was at least a string from it, but at the same time, the anchor or the grappling hook is a little too big, and you never see that like in her hand when she's doing that. It's literally like just strings coming out of her hand, so it's a bit more accurate to just have like a black handle.
Mm. It's a shame if nobody comes with those hooks, though.
Yeah, and that would fit for Aim because she's the only one who ever uses it consistently.
And, I mean, it is a part of the equipment as little used as it is.
Watch it come with the gold mode armor and Guy's control thingy.
Make the gold mode armor like a catch-all bonus pack.
Well, it's not like there's that much left to fill in, though.
Yeah, because they've done an impressive job of putting almost every damn thing you could think of.
Pretty much.
Except for
box,
the buster.
Though.
Yeah, you can
yeah,
put
the donut box.
Pack too.
The donut box.
Yeah, the donut box and the Galleon Buster in the Goldenwood box.
and some curry.
Now, see, actually, the donut box would have to have an alternate Gokai Green head, because then you'd have to have the donut box and the donut box with Gokai Green's head.
Yes.
They'd have to have Guy's Sentai guidebook.
God, Bandai should hire us.
No, actually,
like
though,
a marker board where you could, like, check off which the ultimate powers you have.
I'm actually kind of thinking now that the Galleon Buster might be its own exclusive release, because they could do effects parts with that too.
Like new hands for ass grabbing?
No, I was thinking like the energy prowl
and
for
in
the
different
Rising
colors.
Strike. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
How many colors have we got?
Three.
Only two, I think.
Three.
Although it has potential to do at least
Didn't
five.
Didn't they do silver too?
No. He helped on one when Joe was fighting Barry Zorg, but it was still a red charge.
You know, if they did the Galleon Buster with an LED, or actually several LEDs inside, they'd only have to include a clear Rising Strike effect part and just have it lighted up.
That would be... That's. I think that Figure Arts has never done LEDs or anything like that, I don't think.
Be a good time to start, though.
They have on bases, maybe, but...
And
it's
they
not
also
had
and
LEDs.
Remember, they'd have to fit the batteries in.
Well, the Galleon Buster is not a small thing, you know.
That's true.
And the actual electronics of a Gaia memory, for example, is pretty small. It's less than half the size of the Gaia memory.
Yes, but they'd also have to have a way to get for you to get to the batteries, which would make it. Which would have a visible screw or clip or something, which Figure Arts.
Well, that would go in the aft of the ship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I get what you're saying, Fort Max. You're right that, you know, it would make unacceptable holes, but at the same time, there's ways to minimize the effect of that, and since it wouldn't have a sound function in it, it's not like it needs speaker slots.
It wouldn't have a sound function?
I don't envision it with a sound function. I just envision it.
You wouldn't
with
want it to yell out.
Well, think of it this way too, though. If they did that, it'd be hard to get to yell it out loudly enough to really have the proper effect.
That small, yeah. Although, then again, the guy memories can get kind of loud.
I suppose so. Plus, what I'm thinking too is it would have like a sliding switch, not a button, so you could turn the light on and set it somewhere. You wouldn't have to keep holding it down for that effect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it would be a display piece, not an action function.
Actually, another idea could be, instead of doing that, you have the light in a stand, and then it just pipes up into the Buster.
Oh, you have light piping through the Buster somehow. Except the thing with that is the longer you make the light piping path and the more bends in it, the weaker the light comes out on the other side.
It's true.
And, you know, if you have to do it where it does five colors, you know,
it doesn't
do
any of them very well.
Well, like the prism memory does several colors and apparently does it okay, but it also does not have to transmit that light through several inches of plastic.
Although it probably doesn't do as good a job as, say, a single Gaia memory.
Well, and of course, you know,
pretty much the only way I think they could have it work with having the electronics outside, the main thing is doing a laser rod approach.
Or to have the light source in the effect part itself.
Yeah.
And in that case, you might as well just color the effect part one color and forget all the other color charges.
They don't even make LEDs in some of those colors, don't they?
Well, you can kind of fake it with combinations.
Oh, and how would you get a pink LED?
Red and white.
Pink LED that, on parade?
Well, that wouldn't make it pink, though. I mean, they'd just show
pink
red.
Pink is just paler red.
Well, the Gokai Saber flat alternates between all five colors.
Yeah.
Is it through different colored LEDs or different colored plastic?
I don't know exactly.
LEDs?
I mean, I don't have one. I never take one apart.
It would have to be different colored lights because there's no motors in there.
Yeah, it's like each Ranger key, each color Ranger key has its own specific cut, so things like the Buster and the Saber can recognize which color is stuck in there.
I'm saying, is it just a white LED with a pink piece of plastic over it, or is it actually a pink LED?
I couldn't say.
But again, pink is just a more pale red. You know, they could make an LED to do that one way or the other. Even if it was just a white LED and it had a pink lens over it, and it just switched to that one, they'd need the pink.
Yeah, and it would pretty much be just the same type, probably the same type of setup they have in the deluxe weapons.
Basically. Yeah. But, you know, for the other colors, there's not really any problem to do it.
Sounds like such a nice thing we'll never, ever have.
The problem with having a black charge, if there is ever one used, of course, use the same solution Sentai has forever.
Purple.
Purple.
Right.
Yeah, the Buster, I think, does do a black charge, since there are black Ranger keys.
And I think the Saber has a... The Saber will purple. Do black and white, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it shows up as purple.
Right.
Wait, how would it know if there's a black key inserted?
I mean, because on one side of the Ranger key, there are cuts to show which team it is.
Right.
On the other side of the Ranger key,
there's another notch cut out, which for the things that can differentiate between colors, it tells it which color to use.
It's specifically,
so all of them have got a color code on them, but the mobile race only detects it on the Gokaidra keys.
Exactly, because it's only detected.
Okay.
Not really, because it also that's also how it tells the difference between, say, Shurikenger,
the Go Rigers.
Right, because it would recognize
which color.
It would recognize Hurricanger, and green equals Shurikenger.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And same way it does with the wings and.
Right. And Gosei does Gosei Knight have a separate?
Yeah. Yes. They separated him out from his loser brethren.
Good.
Hardest thing they've done.
I think. Let's see, I'm not sure, but Deca Master may have his own one.
No, I don't think so. Because, I mean, in the show, it just says Deca Ranger. The only ones in the show that they've shown say anything different have been Shurikenger and...
The Wings.
Gosei Knight. Yeah. I want to say in the Wings.
Well, the Wings are just because Guy imagined it different.
Well,
in Go Andrew, the Wings considered themselves a separate team.
Yeah, and when I'm and Guy used it, they were separate.
Right.
It was still Go on Wings, not Go Andrew.
You know, it's just like the distinction between Hurricanger and Go Rigger. It's correct within the context of the series.
Yeah.
Even though overall they're all Hurricangers.
Right.
For merchandising purposes. But it's actually pretty clever the way that was all set up to work with the keys and the toys.
Yeah, I wish more kind of took advantage of that, though.
Yeah, but on the
team packs they have out.
At the same time, though, I can understand why they didn't, because it's just more process and expense to put in the toys.
Well, true.
Yeah. Okay, so I think that's about it for our show tonight.
So this episode probably goes up on the 25th, right?
Yeah.
Well, by amazing coincidence, that is the birthday of Shotaro Ishinomori.
Hey.
Interesting.
And of course, Kamen Rider was the only current show we actually got to discuss, so hey.
How about that? Does anybody have any idea for what to do next week? Because I'm at a total loss.
Mega
I'm
Ranger?
Thinking we should stick to U.S. stuff for a while, because it might be easier to obtain.
Well, okay. The thing with that is, I've got, you know, quite a bit of Power Rangers available to me, like, on discs. I don't have Netflix. You don't have Netflix either, last I knew. So, that's going to be a problem. You know, with the file sharing meltdown going on, everything's going to be a little bit harder to get.
What file sharing?
I know Mega Anon had their Mega Ranger scrubs, the Raws for them on different hosts, although those might have gone down now too. Mm-hmm. Have they started re-uploading those somewhere?
I believe so. Let me check.
Yeah, that's what I was.
Well, all the torrents are still working, right?
So a lot of these guys haven't been doing torrents.
Well, and the problem with the torrents also is that after a while they just, you know, they don't work anymore.
Because nobody's seeding them.
Right. Everybody gets them initially, and then that's the end of it. Because people suck.
Your mom works all the time because people are always seeding her.
Ha 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 ha.
No, I have the Mega Ranger MKVs on my hard drive. So if we need them, I could just upload whatever we end up choosing myself out of that.
Yeah, and actually, I'm seeing on Mega Non's page they're putting out a call for anybody who has the MKVs or the hard subs to help
them
get them
for
back.
You.
What episode did they get through?
12.
Okay. I'm just going to look really quick through the episode summaries and
see. Considering next week we probably will have more shows, I know we've done Jay. I don't think we've done Kamen Rider World.
Yeah, that's only, what, 10 minutes long?
Eight minutes or so.
Yeah, we're going to have, providing Gokai's out on time next week, we're going to have two episodes of it.
Well, the only reason it wasn't this time was because of a series of...
unfortunate events.
Yes.
Well, and it wasn't anything to do with the... It wasn't anything to do with the file hosts evaporating.
Right. It had to do with, they had first some hardware issue with the capper. They also had various scheduling things with
getting the
people.
Raw light.
TLDR, shit happens.
Yeah. Pretty much. But
and
no,
shit happens.
But the point is, you know, it's not anything to do with the problem with file sharing right now. So as long as these same events don't occur next week, there shouldn't be a scheduling problem again.
Yeah.
In theory, anyway.
Yeah. Well, okay, so what do we want to do, Mega Ranger or the 8-Minute Masked Rider World?
Mega Ranger.
Mega Ranger.
Yeah, we might want to do Mega Ranger if we do Zeo or something.
What?
Kamen Rider Zeo.
Oh. Well, you know, when you call it Zeo, it sounds like you're talking about Power Rangers Zeo.
Longer than before.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll ponder over the Mega Ranger episodes, and we'll make arrangements to have those available some way or another.
Yeah.
For power playback when it goes up on
Namely,
Friday.
You tell me which ones I need to upload.
Basically, yes. Well, I would do it myself, but your connection's faster.
Yeah.
Okay, so follow at @superhero_time on Twitter if you don't already to catch power playback on Friday when you'll find out, probably along with the rest of us, what we're actually going to watch next week.
This cannot end well.
No, not at all. And in the meantime, that will be our show for this week. Thank you guys for being here on our off night. And anything else before we go?
That's about it.
Nice. Okay, we'll see you next time.
Later.
Bye.
So long. Bye.
You've been listening to Superhero Time. Follow us on Twitter at @superhero_time for weekly power playback and updates about the show. Visit tfradio.net or find us on iTunes for previous episodes and to subscribe to the show. Superhero Time is a TF Radio Network production. Copyright 2012.
Okay, cool.
And usually when we're short a show or something, we end up taking longer than usual.
Yeah, well, Mickey has to go to work tomorrow, so he just would have gotten crankier and crankier the longer we went on.
My patience is thin enough as is.
Fort Max, can you get any of the TV Nihon Mega Ranger episodes if we need to go with one of those?
I think some of those are still seated.
I have them too.
Oh.
Okay. You know, I've watched up through everything they've released so far, so I can go back through and try to figure out what'll be best for power playback.
Yeah, and I have them sitting on my hard. I have
You got everything sitting on your hard drive.
Home ones that Mega One hasn't done yet. Right. So.
How many subgroups are you working with right now, Fort Max?
How many hard drives do you have?
Well, he doesn't have to have a lot of them. He just needs one really big one.
I have a laptop with a single 500 gig hard drive.
How full is it?
I have a terabyte.
Mostly full. I have a 1 terabyte external, though that's mostly filled up with stuff that I've either encoded from or it's finished on. So
I like Mickey's answer better.
Yeah, really.
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.